Hello, my name is Steve Wilbraham, and I'm the senior pastor of Congregational Presbyterian Church. We are glad to offer these audio sermons for our congregation and for those interested in learning more about our church and the Christian faith. We invite you to visit us, to meet our pastors and members, and to join us in the journey of faith. The mission of our church is to know Christ, to become like Christ, and to share Christ. Now, on to the sermon. I lived the first 15 years of my life in Europe, where my parents were missionaries with an American organization called the Navigators. And when I was 13 years old, we moved from Denmark to Norway, where my parents were working at the local college with college students sharing Jesus Christ with them. And I joined a new soccer team. And early on in my experience with this new team, after practice one day, one of my fellow players said, "Hey, Steve, what does your dad do?" And I said, "Well, he works for the Navigators." And then I said, "That's an American shipping company." And I knew immediately why I told the lie. I knew that I was afraid that they would make fun of me, that my parents were missionaries. And I wanted to feel accepted. I wanted to be a part of this new group of guys. And for several weeks, I felt really guilty about doing that. I loved my parents. I respected what they did. I loved my dad. And I felt badly that I had told a lie about what he did just for me to protect myself. And I was pretty sure that my parents could tell that something was wrong. I was still at the age where kids think their parents know everything about what's going on in their lives. And I thought for sure, just by looking at me, they could see that I was guilty. But nothing was said and nothing was done. But as time went by, I just felt worse and worse. And finally, I had a chance to talk privately with my dad, and I told him what I had done. And then he really surprised me and made me feel even worse, if that was possible, by telling me that he knew what I had done. And I said, "How did you know that?" And he said, "Because the kid you told shared that with his dad, and his dad knows me from the college." So I said, "You knew all this time?" And my dad said, "Yeah." I said, "Well, why didn't you do anything? Why didn't you say anything?" And he said, "Well, I just wanted to wait to see what you would do. And I'm really, really glad that you decided to tell me." And we talked a little bit about that, and my dad shared some more of his reasoning, and we talked about forgiveness and things like that. And later, I came to realize, as I thought over those 2 weeks when I had felt so bad about what I had done, that my dad and my mom had not treated me any differently than they always treated me. While I was sure they could tell there was something wrong with me, I couldn't tell. There was no sign that they knew something about me that I had done. And I realized that they had treated me like they had always treated me, with love and with care, in spite of the lie that I had told. And as I was thinking this week about this story that we're going to talk about in the relationship between Jesus and Peter, and in particular the event that happens by the Sea of Galilee, this story from my own past came to mind. One that I often think about in different kinds of relationships, in relationship to raising our 3 sons, and in relationships that I have with others, and especially with God. Peter had said to Jesus, "Jesus, I will do anything for you. I will even die for you." He made that promise on the same night that Judas would eventually betray Jesus. "I will die for you." And I'm sure that Peter was sincere. I'm sure he really felt that with all of his being. I think his intention was pure. But Jesus knew better. Jesus says, "Peter, you say you will die for me?" He says, "Before the crow calls tomorrow morning to welcome the sun, you will have denied me 3 times." you, Peter, will deny me three times. We are soon going to get to our primary text this morning, but I would like to read to you from Luke chapter 22 what happens next. So they arrested Jesus and led him to the high priest's home, and Peter followed at a distance. The guards lit a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat around it, and Peter joined them there. A servant girl noticed him in the firelight and began staring at him. Finally, she said, "This man was one of Jesus' followers." But Peter denied it. "Woman," he said, "I don't even know him." After a while, someone else looked at him and said, "You must be one of them." "No, man, I am not," Peter retorted. About an hour later, someone else insisted, "This must be one of them because he is a Galilean too." But Peter said, "Man, I don't know what you are talking about." And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. At that moment, the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Suddenly, the Lord's words flashed through Peter's mind. "Before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you will deny three times that you even know me." And Peter left the courtyard, weeping bitterly. It's now several days later, and Peter is about to have another encounter around a charcoal fire, this time an encounter with Jesus. Some of the disciples have returned to Galilee, and they're by the Sea of Galilee, and Peter says, "I'm going to go fishing." And some of the other disciples say, we'll go with you. And they go fishing, and they fish all night, which is the best time to go fishing, at least this type of fishing, but they catch nothing. It's early morning, and they're coming back towards the shore, and they see that there's someone standing on the shore, but they really can't tell who it is. But they hear his voice calling out across the sea, "Have you caught anything?" If you're a fisherman, that's not really what you want to be asked as you return from an unsuccessful fishing trip. "Have you caught anything?" "No," they say. "We have not caught anything." And he yells back at them from the seashore, "Throw your nets on the right-hand side of the boat." We're not told what's going through their minds, but we can imagine what they'd like to say. But we are told they throw their nets on the right-hand side of the boat, and the net are so full of fish that they can't even pull it back on to the boat. And then they recognize that it's Jesus who's standing on the seashore, and Peter jumps into the water, and he swims the 100 or so yards to shore, and there eventually his fellow disciples join him. Jesus has built a charcoal fire, and he is already cooking some fish and baking some bread for their breakfast, and they add some of the fish that they caught. And together they have breakfast with Jesus. And then this is what happens next during that breakfast. And this is the passage that you'll find in your bulletins from John chapter 21. I'm reading verses 15 through 17. After breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," Peter replied, "you know I love you." "Then feed my lambs," Jesus told him. Jesus repeated the question, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" "Yes, Lord," Peter said, "you know I love you." "Then take care of my sheep," Jesus said. A third time he asked him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt that Jesus asked the question a third time. He said, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." I wonder what Peter was thinking as he sat having breakfast around the fire with his fellow disciples. I'm wondering if he is reminded about another fire around which he was sitting. another fire in which he was given an opportunity to claim his friendship, his devotion, his relationship with Jesus Christ. And how, even though he had just literally hours before sworn that he would do anything for Jesus, even die for him, that three times in a row, he denied knowing anything about Jesus. I wonder, as he was thinking about that reality, as he was sitting there with Jesus and his fellow disciples, he began to question himself. Why did I do that? Why did I have such a hard time just saying, yes, I know him. Yes, I am one of his followers. Why was I unable to do what I had sworn to Jesus that I would do, and that was anything? To say, yes, I know Jesus, doesn't seem like it should be such a big deal, should be so hard. And yet, that's exactly what I did. I denied him. How could I have done that? You know, I always thought that I really loved Jesus. I really thought that that's why I was willing to commit myself to him, to follow him to begin with, to spend time with him, to defend him, to care about him, to pledge my life to him. I thought I really loved Jesus. But when the opportunity came to show that love by claiming my loyalty to him, I failed. Could it be that I don't love Jesus like I thought I did? Could it be that my heart is not really drawn to him in the way I thought it was? Because surely if I really loved him, I would not have denied him. I think that we are a lot like Peter. Or if you will, Peter is a lot like us. At one point in his letter to the Romans, Peter says, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. There's something within us that says, yes, I love Jesus. Yes, I'm a follower of him. Yes, I will defend him. Yes, I will stand up for him. Yes, he has done everything for me. I am willing to do everything for him. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Something happens and we weaken. Something happens. And they ask us, what does your dad do? And we lie. And we know we are lying as we lie, and we even know why we're doing what we're doing. Because our flesh says, oh, you don't want him to look at you in a strange way. You don't want him to tell your other teammates. You don't want to risk that they might make fun of you, that your dad is a missionary from America. No, I deny who my dad really is. I make up a lie about his work here in Norway. The Spirit is willing. Those of us who are followers of Jesus Christ, we're committed our lives to him, and we want to be true to him. We truly do, and we're sincere about that. But then the opportunity comes to show it. And we mess up. And we wonder why. We wonder, could it be that maybe we don't really love Jesus? Because if we really did love Jesus, wouldn't we do the right thing? Even by doing so, things might be difficult for us. Peter needed to know that his love for Jesus was true, that his love for Jesus was real, that his love for Jesus had not been brought into devastating and fatal question by what he had done. And Jesus, who at Peter's own confession knows all things, knew this about Peter. See, I think Peter at some level, because he spent 3 years with Jesus, he had heard Jesus teach about forgiveness, he had seen Jesus forgive people that in Peter's own mind maybe were really far from being in a place where they should be forgiven, but yet they were. I don't think at this time that Peter was questioning whether Jesus was willing to forgive him. He may even had in his own mind recognized that he is one who is forgiven or who will be forgiven. I don't think that Peter is so much questioning in his mind Jesus, he's questioning himself. And while his sin is a sin that clearly is forgivable and a sin for which God is glad to give forgiveness, as Jesus himself has taught so often, as I think Peter believed, there's still something within Peter that says things are not right between me and Jesus. There must be something wrong with me. That simply knowing that I'm forgiven does not finally take care of. Because I still feel the shame of what I did. I still feel the guilt at how I behaved. And that shame and that guilt makes me question not God's forgiveness of me, but my love of Jesus. And Jesus knows this. And Jesus loves Peter. And Jesus has plans for Peter. It's still the Peter of whom Jesus says, "Upon this rock I will build my church." I need someone to take care of my sheep, my followers. I need Peter to be a leader. But Peter has doubts in his heart about his relationship with me. He has doubts about himself, his worthiness, his ability to be a good follower of Jesus Christ. If he can't say yes that he knows Jesus to a servant girl and a couple of guys sitting around a fire, how in the world is he supposed to go out and be a leader in the church? See, Jesus knows this about Peter. And Jesus knows this about you and me. When because of our failure, because of our sin, because of the weakness of our flesh, we have, in one way or another, denied Jesus by the words we have spoken or by the deeds that we have committed. And we ask ourselves, am I really worthy? Can Jesus really use me? Do I really love Jesus if I were to do things like that? If I were to talk like that? Do you love me? Jesus asks. And Peter says, "You know I love you." Do you love me? Yes, Jesus, you know I love you. Do you love me? Now Peter's hurt. Oh, Jesus, you know everything. You know I love you. 3 times, even having been forewarned by Jesus, 3 times Peter is given the opportunity to say, "Yes, I love Jesus." And all he has to do is just be willing to declare that, yeah, he knows him, that he's with him, that he's a follower of his. Do you know Jesus? Don't know who you're talking about. Do you know Jesus? I have no idea who Jesus even is. Do you know Jesus? Hey man, why do you keep asking me that question? Three opportunities. Three times. Nope. No idea. No relationship. Don't know the guy. Do you love me? See, Jesus loves Peter. And I think Peter knows that. See, Jesus is not saying, Peter, do you know that I love you? That's not the question. And I think it's not the question because it's not the question for Peter. That's not what he is thinking about. That's not what he's worried about. And I suggest that you and I, when we find ourselves in a Peter-like situation, that's not the question that we first ask ourselves. I mean, we might at some level saying, I wonder if Jesus still loves me because I really screwed up. But hey, there's all this stuff in the Bible and all this stuff that Pastor McLean and Pastor Steve say every week. Jesus loves us no matter what. And I think that that's true. I believe that, at least in my mind. But the deeper question, the one that brings about the hurt, is why did I do this? Why did I do this? And so now Peter, having denied Jesus three times, given three separate opportunities to say, yes, I love Jesus, I know him. Yes, I love Jesus, I'm his followers. Yes, I love Jesus, I am a Galilean as he is, and I have known him for the past 3 years. Now he is given another opportunity. Do you love me, Peter? Yes, I love you. I think something is starting to stir in Peter's heart. There is something in giving that answer and speaking it out loud that begins to bring something into recognition within him. That as Jesus looks at him and doesn't condemn him, doesn't question him, doesn't confront him, and doesn't bring up the question of whether Jesus now loves him, or whether Jesus should even love him given what Peter has done, Peter says, yeah, I love you. But he says, notice how he says it. He says, you know everything, Jesus. I don't have to tell you this for your sake. I have to tell you this for my sake. And I don't know if Peter thinks it through that way, but Jesus certainly, I believe, has thought it through that way. I believe Peter's starting to get it. But it's not there quite yet. So a second time, Jesus says, Peter, do you love me? And now there's a second opportunity for Peter to respond, for Peter to say out loud the very opposite of what he had said just a few days before. Yes, you know I love you. And Jesus is thinking, okay, just one more time, and I think we'll be there. Just one more time, and Peter will be where I need Peter to be, fully confident of his love for me. Peter, do you love me? Oh, yes, Lord. You know everything. You know I love you. And I imagine that Peter's voice gets stronger every time. Not in challenge of Jesus, but in recognition that Jesus is bringing from him something that he needs to speak, something that he needs to reconcile, recognize, something that he needs to believe deep within himself, that he still loves Jesus. And as someone who still loves Jesus, he is someone who has been brought into full restoration in his relationship with Jesus. Not just the forgiveness itself, not just that sin is set aside, but that Peter's heart has been healed from that place of questioning and doubting, not God, but himself. And learning something very important along the way, as Paul will later express it. My flesh is weak. This probably will not be the last time I mess up. in my relationship with Jesus. This won't be the last thing that I do or say that goes against what Jesus would have me do or say. But I do think for Peter, this is the last time when he will seriously question his own love for Jesus. As being not there, or as being insufficient, or as being so weak that it does not hold him up, because he comes to realize something that you and I need to realize, that our love for Jesus is not something that needs to be proven to him. He knows we love him. Even when I mess up, yes, he knows we love him. Even when I sin, yes, he knows we love him. So stop asking ourselves the question, well, why isn't my love strong enough to keep me from messing up? The reality is that our sinful humanity is still with us. It is still something we need to deal with, but let it not bring us to the point of questioning our relationship with Jesus. And when we seek forgiveness for the times that we have denied him in whatever shape or form we have done that, let us receive not only the forgiveness in the sense that Jesus is setting aside our sin, is not treating us as if we have sinned, is not seeking some kind of recompense for us because of the sin, we are forgiven, but allow our heart to be healed as well. Allow us to be returned into a full relationship with Jesus Christ, one where the shame is set aside, and one where our love for Jesus is no longer coming into question from our side, but rather, Jesus, you know I love you. I'm really sorry for what I did, but you know I love you. I know I was wrong. I should not have said that, but you know I love you. Other people may look at what I did and they may question that, but you don't. I love you because you first loved me and gave your life for me. And I believe that, I trust that, and nothing about what I did wrong has changed that reality. Peter, Steve, be assured that Jesus loves you, and be assured that your love for Jesus is true. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, you come to us in so many different ways through your word, and you speak to us in different ways by your Holy Spirit as it relates to where we find ourselves. And all of us, Lord, are in our own unique place today. Some of us may, having heard the words of Scripture, recall a very specific incident in our own life, maybe one that took place just not very long ago. And we realize that even though we profess a love for you, that we acted in a way that was certainly not loving towards you. That we did or said things that clearly were selfish and were about loving ourselves rather than loving you. And Satan would love to take a time like that and get us to doubt our love for you, to get us to doubt that we're really worthy of you, to get us to doubt that we are able to minister in your name and to do good things on your behalf. The devil would love for us just to slink away and just say, oh no, I'm not right for a relationship with Jesus. But you come to us and you join with us and you say, do you love me? And you want to hear what you heard from Peter that day. Yes, Lord, you know I love you. And you want us, if you need to continue to ask us that question, because while we may give, so to speak, the right answer, we may not be totally convinced yet within ourselves, but you keep coming to us and you keep inviting us to say, yes, I love you. Yes, I love you. We're not convincing ourselves of something that is not true. Rather, what we're doing is we're affirming something that is real, something that brought us to you in the first place. Sin does not invalidate faith. And so, Lord, may we know anew your love for us. And may we recognize its fullness and its completeness, including its ability to draw from us a responding, "Yes, Lord, I love you." We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.